One of the most improbable, probably one of the most amazing pre-sermon videos that we have ever shown. And let me promise you this, if you saw it and you watched it, the process equaled the product. This is incredibly important. It's something we're going to talk about today. Speaking about the big picture and talking about how the process equals the product. Let's talk about this. One morning, three Southerners and three Yankees were in a ticket counter line at a train station. The three Northerners each bought a ticket and watched as the three Southerners bought just one ticket. "How are the three of you going to travel on only one ticket?" asked one of the Yankees. "Watch and learn," answered one of the boys from the South. So all six boarded the train where the three Yankees sat down in their seats, but the three Southerners crammed into a toilet together and closed the door behind them. Shortly after the train departed, the conductor came around to collect the tickets. He knocked on the toilet door and said, "Ticket, please." The door opened just a crack and a single arm emerged with a ticket in hand. The conductor took it and moved on. The Yankees saw this happen. They agreed that it was a pretty clever idea. Indeed, so clever, they decided to do the same thing on their return trip and save some money. So that afternoon, when they got back to the station, they bought a single ticket for the return trip and watched while, to their astonishment, the three Southerners didn't buy even one ticket at all. "How are you going to travel without a ticket?" asked a perplexed Yankee. "Watch and learn," answered the three Southern boys in unison. So when they boarded the train, the three Northerners crammed themselves into a toilet, and the three Southerners crammed into another toilet just down the way. Shortly after the train began to move, one of the Southerners left their toilet, walked over to the toilet in which the Yankees were hiding. Southerner knocked on the door and said, "Ticket, please." Had to get to there to see the finished product in the big picture. So based on this little story, I am curious of how the North ever beat the South in the Civil War. The big picture. Some might see it. Sadly, most never do. So what is this picture? And who is the proverbial painter? And how does it apply to us? What if I suggested that the big blank canvas is us? What if I told you that the Heavenly Father is the painter, that our lives are His big picture, and sadly, and oftentimes, we just don't allow ourselves and our lives to be His canvas, and thus, we won't allow God control of our lives so that He can properly paint us. Dr. James Dobson from When God Doesn't Make Sense, an excerpt that he wrote, says this. He says, "I heard about this man from a docudrama on television that I saw many years ago. The producer had obtained permission from cancer specialists to place cameras in his clinic. Then, with the approval from three patients, two men and a woman, he captured on film the moment each of them learned they were afflicted with a malignancy in its later stages. Their initial shock and disbelief and fear and anger were recorded in graphic detail. Afterwards, the documentary team followed these three families through the treatment process with its ups and downs and hopes and disappointments and pain and terror. He, says Dobson, was a humble black pastor of a small inner city Baptist church. He was in his late 60s and had been a minister throughout his adult life. His love for the Lord was so profound that it was reflected in everything he said. When he and his wife were told that he only had a few months to live, they revealed no panic. They quietly asked the doctor what it all meant. When he had explained the treatment program and what they could anticipate, they politely thanked him for his concern and departed. The cameras followed this little couple to their old car and eavesdropped as they bowed their heads and recommitted themselves to their Lord. In the months that followed, the pastor never lost his poise, nor was he glib about his illness. He knew the Lord was in control, and he refused to be shaken in his faith. The cameras were present on his final Sunday in his church. He actually preached the sermon that morning and talked openly about his impending death. To the best of my recollection, says Dobson, this is what he said. Some of you have asked me if I am mad at God for this disease that has taken over my body. I'll tell you honestly that I have nothing but love in my heart for my Lord. He didn't do this to me. We live in a sinful world where sickness and death are the curse that man has brought on himself. and I'm going to a better place where there will be no more tears, no suffering, and no heartache. So don't feel bad for me. Besides, he continued, our Lord suffered and died for our sins. Why should I not share in his suffering? Then he began to sing without accompaniment in an old, broken voice. I wept as this gentleman sang of his love for Jesus. He sounded very weak, and his face was drawn from the ravages of the disease. But his comments were as powerful as any of as I have ever heard. His words that morning were his last from the pulpit, as far as I know. He slipped into eternity a few days later, where he met the Lord that he had served for a lifetime. This unnamed pastor and his wife, says Dobson, have a prominent place among my spiritual heroes, end quote. This pastor saw the big picture. Someone once said that man's way leads to a hopeless end, but God's way leads to an endless hope. And maybe, just maybe, that someone might have been thinking about that pastor and how he dealt with his present and ultimately his future. Let me ask you, have we allowed God to be the painter of our big life picture? The apostle said in Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is, keyword, finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, earlier we saw a 5-minute video, and again, I thought it was amazing. I remember the first time I saw it, and I remember thinking, I'm going to have to show this, I'm going to have to use this in a sermon, especially one that can be as impactful as this. But here's what's interesting regarding that video. The finished product was good. If you tuned in late, if you were checking your grocery list, looking at your email list, just not paying attention, and you see the end result, the finished product, the final picture, you would say, that was really good. But folks, if you hung in there for those 5 minutes, if you saw the painting process that led to the finished product, you would say, wow, that was great. You see, folks, you're living the process. You're part of the process. Right now, God is painting your lives. And in many cases, we say, I don't want to watch. I don't want to look, and I don't want to see. I don't trust him with the brush. And so many times, we turn our backs, we turn our heads, and we walk away. We move on, we get out, and we give up. And we miss the big picture. Regarding the big picture of our lives, are we going to allow the Lord to finish his work? Jesus did. Jesus says in John 4:34, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. John 17:4, Jesus says to his heavenly Father, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. God was, and he still is, the painter of Jesus' big picture. Jesus simply did and completed the will of his Father. So did Paul. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And for us today, we were asked to watch, to keep the faith for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, you were forced to watch a video, and I'm guessing within the first minute you said, who's the nut job dancing and painting? What in the world is he doing? And only when you were allowed in faith to believe that something better was waiting, you got to see the big picture. Faith is critical. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. For 5 minutes you didn't give up. But what about for 5 years and what about for 50 years? Do we give up? Lastly, in Acts 20:24, Paul says this, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Giving up oftentimes is easier than going on. See, during the big picture painting process, I must ask, isn't it easy to check out, to give up, and or to move on? You see, it's during that time of painting when the big picture is not finished but rather looks like a jumbled mess that we think about checking out. Sadly, it's during that process of painting that becomes challenging and daunting and threatening. And I know that every single person in here has gone through the painting. I know you. I care about you. I have prayed for you. And I know that there have been times when you said, I cannot do this, God. I'm leaving you. You've questioned your faith. You've questioned the paint. And yet here you are. You made it. You're still watching it. You're still living it. Why haven't you left it? Because you believe that God is painting the big picture of your life. Will we allow God to complete and finish the task? And will we allow him to reveal the big picture? You know, Noah's work was daunting. And in fact, it was interesting because Fred and Alice and I were communicating. They were in Kentucky, we were in Illinois, but the advent of cell phones makes this very easy to do. So we were texting and photoshopping all this stuff. I mean, we were having fun with it. And I knew when they were sending me these pictures, I said, we're going to use this. And I thought, we're probably going to use this just as a display during the sermon as kind of a vacation prep. Actually, it went much further than this. Fred and Alice, you had no idea you were going to be so involved in this sermon today. Noah's work was daunting. Now, what's interesting is, as you see the pictures, it'll make a little more sense. Hebrews 11 is what we affectionately call the Faith Hall of Fame. If you spend any time in God's Word and you want to see those people that have achieved great status in God's eyes, go to Hebrews 11. Noah made it. Makes sense that Noah made it. In fact, Hebrews 11:7 says this, Noah trusted God. When he heard God's warning about the future, Noah believed him, even though there was no sign of a flood, and wasting no time, he built the ark and saved his family. Now, he did this in spite of the sin and the disbelief around him. Now, what's interesting is, and again, we my joke in Wednesday night Bible study, you've heard me say it a million times, I wasn't there. I wasn't even in Kentucky when Fred and Alice were there. But I can share with you, and Dan is putting together a great slideshow here. You will actually see photos of the finished product. You will also see photos regarding the Ark experience in Kentucky of the beginning project. And so what happens is the project had to equal the product. For those of us that will go to Kentucky and see the finished product, here's what I will tell you. You will walk away and you will say, that was good. Many of you might say, it was great. But for those people who were there when the first dirt was moved, when the first piece of wood was brought in, when the people casted the dream and shared the picture, these people will look at that project and they will say, we love the product, because they were there for the process. When you take time and you say, God, I want to be there for the entire process. I don't want to miss anything. I want to see every single brushstroke that you paint in my life. Here's what happens. Not only do you get to be part of the process, but you get to testify about the project. And you're the one that gets to see the glory of the finished product. This is what Noah got. Think about his challenges. There was no proof of a flood. You're building a boat? Really? Where are you going to sail that thing at? There was no flood. And he had to get it done. And he had to face the ridicule of everyone. But there was no, for Noah, there was no quitting during the painting. There was no quitting during the flooding. Noah did it. And he did it because he believed it. And the product was great. Can you imagine Noah 40 days and 40 nights on that big boat with animals? A lot of animals. And can you imagine when he disembarked and what was his finished product? His finished product was the covenant, the rainbow, the sign that God would never do what he did again. Can you imagine how Noah must have felt? And Noah said, God, I was part of the process. While you were painting, I was trusting. While it was flooding, I was believing. I wasn't quitting. How about Job? You cannot go down this road without mentioning Job. Job 1:12 through chapter 2, verse 13. Job lost his money. Job lost his family. Job lost his health, and it challenged his faith. But in Job 38:2, if you can make it all the way through, part of the painting process of reading Job, chapters 1 through 37 can be challenging because his friends were challenging, his circumstances were challenging. But if you make it to Job 38, here's what you'll see. You'll see that God begins to reveal his big picture. He says, why? God says to Job, why are you using your ignorance to deny my providence? And then if you make it all the way to the end of Job, Job 42, 10 through 12, it says he was blessed more at the end than at the beginning. Job was part of the process. Job got to see the big picture. How about Joseph? There's another good one. Genesis 37 through 50. How about Joseph? Disowned, right? Enslaved, jailed. And yet he was blessed. In fact, if you can make it all the way to the end of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says this. God, he says this to his family. He says, God turned it into good. God turned it into good. Have you ever said that? You ever said during the process, God will make this good. I don't know how it ends because I don't know how the big picture is going to look, but he'll make it good. And when the tears are falling and maybe you're thinking about quitting, if you can stay there and say, firm upon your faith, God will make it good, you have displayed the ultimate amount of faith. Abraham and Sarah had to trust that God would give them a promised baby. They laughed, Genesis 17, 17 and 18, 12, before they were blessed. Moses could not see the big picture based on his own perceived failure. Exodus 3, verse 11, he says this to God. He says, I'm not the person for a job like that. You want me to lead your people out of Egypt? I killed a guy in Egypt. I can't do this. And yet he did this. He didn't quit this. God, I don't think you can paint that picture. Have you ever said something like that? God, I don't think you're still painting my picture. God was painting. These people were doubting, questioning, wondering, perhaps even thinking about quitting. What are we doing? What are we doing? Regarding the big picture of our lives, are we trusting our Heavenly Father, the perfect painter? He says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, he says, this plan is not what you would work out, neither are my thoughts the same as yours. And so regarding our blank canvas, here's what we know. He has plans for us. This plan is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. You know what we say? We say, God, I'm your canvas. Paint us. Create in us the big picture in us. Folks, let me ask you, would you paint a different picture? I'm guessing we all would. Every time you've been in the hospital, every time that you've struggled, every time you've gone through treatment, every time you've cried, every time you've wept, every time you've wondered, every time that you have considered quitting, wouldn't you have painted a different picture? I probably would have. I think it would be normal and natural to consider this. If we paint a different picture, if we long to paint a different picture, if we say, God, give me the brush, here's what happens. The process would create an inferior product. I can assure you. You see, if we think that we would paint a better picture than God, I can promise you that the finished product will never, ever be as good a product as God can paint. And yet so many times we say this, God, I don't trust, so give me the brush. Let me paint my own picture. I don't want to be sick anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want to feel this way anymore. I want out of debt. I want to be more in love. I want to feel different. Do we trust God with that brush? Do we trust Him with it? We are not finished products. I think we say something like this. If we're the canvas, God, we should be able to paint our own life picture, God. We should be able to hold and control that proverbial brush, God. But I can promise you this, when we grab the brush and we show no trust, it destroys the big picture. It just does, because we can't paint like God does. Dr. Edgar James says this, God does not work in a haphazard, unplanned manner. He is sovereignly moving all things for the welfare of those who are His own, end quote. Romans 8:28, today somewhere in Decatur, Illinois, my mom is smiling, it's her favorite verse. Paul says, we know that all that happens to us is working for our good. This is conditional. He says, if we love God and are fitting into His plans. You see, if you love God and you trust His plans, here's what happens. You say, God, I know that the big picture will be better than anything I could paint. This is how we fit into His plans. Are we allowing him to paint our life picture, or are we not? Folks, we are the canvas and his plans, whether we like them or not, are being painted before us. So what do we do during this big picture painting process? Do we check out? Do we give up? Do we move on? I hope not. Let's look at our sermon text for today. And this is a short one, but it's a powerful one. And it certainly ties in to what we're talking about today. Here's what Paul says, Romans 12:12. He says, and I'm going to interrupt myself as we do this. Be glad for all God is, here it comes, planning for you. You know, you could change this around if you wanted. You could say, be glad for all that God is painting in you. We glad about it? Paul says we should be. He says, be patient in trouble. And if, by the way, if you were watching that video, you realize how great patience was, and it was rewarded. He says, be patient in trouble and prayerful always. You know what we have? We have things to do while God is doing his thing. So what do we do while God is painting? First and foremost, we must be praying. Regarding our life picture, our praying aligns with God's painting. James 1 verse 5, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you, for he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to those who ask him. Can you imagine for a moment, if you had a moment with God where he says, hey, I'm going to paint your picture, and you say, really? And he says, yeah, you just sit there. Let me paint your picture. You say, God, how long is this going to take? And he said, your lifetime. He said, really? My lifetime? He said, but it's okay. He said, because during this lifetime, while I'm painting your picture, you get to talk to me. Imagine that. You say, what is it? God, you're saying that when you're painting me, I can talk to you? He said, yeah, you can ask me anything you want. I'm not painting your lips. They can move. Say whatever you want. Ask me whatever you want. Talk to me about whatever you want. I'm just going to paint you. I'll listen to you. You see, this is what happens when he's painting. Because while he's painting, we got to be praying. This is the opportunity that we get. James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. Jesus prayed to his Father in his time of turmoil. Luke 22:42, I want your will, not mine. Are we praying when life's painting is challenging? I earlier indicated this, and I'm not ashamed to say this. Every single person in this church, and bar none, I don't think there's anybody I have never prayed for in this church. Some of you would be embarrassed to know how often I pray for you. You'd be shocked to know how often I pray for you. But why do I pray for you? Well, obviously, as my daughters always say, Dad, it's because you love us. They're right. I pray for you because I love you. And I know that God hears me when I talk about you. But what's really neat about this, and what's great about this, is that when you're challenged, we're praying. When you're sick, we're praying. When you're hurting, we're praying. That's how much we care. And here's the best part. The best part is that I get to see somewhat of the finished product. You see, when the picture's turned over, And it's revealed, when you walk through the doors with smiles on your faces, when you say, I'm not going to make it through this, and you look at me and say, I can't believe it. I made it through this. And you say this, it was because of Jesus. Then we realize why we were praying while God was painting. Because the big picture starts to get revealed. What else do we do during God's painting? We must be patiently waiting. I want to read James 1:2-4. Talk about powerful words. Here's what James says. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything. Strong in character, keywords, full and complete. How many people would say today I feel full. Today I feel like God is completing me as he's painting me. This is the promise that we get. You see, God looks forward to your big picture and when it will ultimately be complete. I love Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Psalm 27:14, don't be impatient, wait for the Lord. I am not an art guy. I will confess, I can draw a little. I can draw a little better than stick men. I can create some weird looking people. I once drew my brother because he's a weird looking person. But I can tell you this, I can't paint. I've tried. I'm awful. I'm literally off. It's why this sermon's easy for me. God, take the brush. I trust you with the brush. I can't paint. But I do know this. I'm not an art guy, but I know there's probably five paintings in the world that are very, very famous. I'm a Thomas Kincaid guy, the painter of light. I love his paintings, but they're not world famous. But I think there's probably five world famous paintings. One of them is the Mona Lisa. Now, let me tell you how little I know about art. I think it was painted by Vincent van Gogh, I think. I don't know for sure. I'm getting two people saying no. That's how much I know about art. It could have been somebody else. Maybe it was Rembrandt. I have no idea. But here's what I know about the Mona Lisa, which isn't very much. So I know that this painting took some time. Does anybody know how long it took to paint the Mona Lisa? You better say no, because nobody else does either. Nobody else does. They suspected it's between 3 and 10 years to paint it. It could be as few as 1, as many as 17. They don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know, but I can tell you this. If one of the world's top most famous paintings took anywhere between 1 and 17 years, and we're still talking about it today, let me ask you this. Aren't you worth being painted every single day? You think God says you're worth the wait every single day? You see, if we consider the Mona Lisa a masterpiece, doesn't God look at you and say, no. No, that's just a piece of canvas. No, my people that I care about and I love, those are my masterpieces. And it's going to take a long time to paint that big picture. And it will take even longer to reveal that big picture. But we wait on him and we trust him that the masterpiece will truly bring us peace. That it will be an amazing, amazing picture. Lastly, what else must we do while God is painting? Well, here's what we must do. We must keep watching what God is doing with anticipation and joy and pay close attention. God doesn't want us to miss the process. Micah 7:7, the prophet says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me. Samuel told his people in 1 Samuel 12:16, he says, now watch as the Lord does great miracles. What's your miracle? How'd you make it? How'd you overcome it? How are you delivered from it? You see, folks, you're the painting. And the miracle is that you're here today worshiping. God has a plan for every single person that's here today. He wants us to see the big picture. Why? Because he will get the glory as we tell the story. Isn't that the truth? You see, I'm hoping today you're going to leave this church. This is my goal, that you'll leave today. You might meet someone today, might see someone today and say, how was church? And you'll say, oh, it was great. I got to tell you about this video I watched. And they'll say, really? Tell me about the video. Well, it was amazing. This guy's like jumping around, dancing on the screen. I mean, he was putting all this paint on this canvas. We didn't know what was happening. We didn't know if there was something wrong with him or us. And then finally, after 5 minutes, he turns it over and it was a picture of Jesus. You got to see this. Guess what happens? God gets the glory. You tell the story. See, that's what happens when you pay attention to the process. You end up talking about Jesus. You praise Jesus. And so for those of you who have been in the hospital, for those of you who have gone through surgeries and injuries and situations and condemnations and things that you feel like you just can't get past, here's what happened. God got you past it. Now he just wants you to talk about it. You tell the story, he gets the glory. I'm going to read John 5:39-40. Here's what Jesus says. He's talking to the Jewish leaders. He says, you search the scriptures, you Jewish leaders. He says, you search the scriptures, for you believe they give you eternal life. And the scriptures point to me. Yet you won't come to me so that I can give you life eternal. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm the big picture. Jesus is the canvas. I'm it. And if we can pay attention to Jesus, guess what? That big picture of our lives is going to make a lot more sense to us. He's the guy. And in his word is revealed the greatest picture of all time. How many people would ever say, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to start. I'm going to start in Revelation. Good luck. Good luck. You're going to miss a lot. In fact, when you get to Revelation, you'll say, it didn't make sense, because you skipped the process to try to see the finished product. That is why it took us 11 years to do a chronological Bible study at the Covell Community Church. Those of you who were patient and waited, you made it. You did it. You trusted it. You sat through the process and you got to see the finished product. He wants us to see the big picture. Jesus' big picture of his life is revealed and still is being revealed in Scripture. They didn't believe. Do we? Do you believe that he can paint you better than you can paint you? Do you believe that your life is just one more paint stroke after the next? Do you believe that God holds the brush and that all you have to do is trust? Do you believe that God is painting your life picture today? Now, are we willing to pray to him and wait for him and watch him and pay close attention to him as he fulfills our lifelong painting and reveals his big picture even amidst our time of trial and suffering? Can we say this? God, I am your canvas. Reveal to me and reveal to others my life purpose. I will give you the glory. I will tell you this. I will tell others the story. Just help me to finish, because I don't want to miss this. We are not a finished product. And if we don't quit, but rather choose to pray and watch and wait, our life and the trials and the struggles that accompany it might just make sense. And we will finally see the big picture and his power, and we'll understand it. And others will glorify God because of it. You're a masterpiece. And I hope today that that will bring you the ultimate comfort and peace. We're going to move to our pastoral prayer. We got a lot to pray about. We got a lot to be thankful for. This is a sea of miracles, folks. A sea of God's doing and God's working. And today for many of you, you will say, I feel like the picture's been flipped. It's not finished, but at least I'm starting to understand it. Folks, if you have prayer requests of any kind, if you say, you know what, I need the altar more than ever, we're here for you. We're here for you. It is time. It is time to put your faith and trust in God Almighty. Give him the brush. Join us here at the altar for a pastoral prayer if you wish. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you these words. What are you doing? We know that you're still painting. We know that you're still in that process, and I just pray today that we would trust in what will be the finished product. I pray that we will lean on you for understanding. I pray that we will always be praying, that we will always be watching, and that we will always be considering what you are going to do for us. And I pray that we will be glad about the plans that you have for us. And I pray today for those who are hurting, and there are many. There are many. And there are many in this sanctuary today that are wondering, why me? Why me? Why this and why now? And I pray today that they would look and say, there's a plan for this and there is a purpose for this. And I pray that we'll just continue to trust in you to paint us. And I thank you that we can have this kind of faith in you. Your written word is perfect, and it reminds us what faith can do, and we're thankful that you've revealed to us through your word the big picture of Jesus and what his purpose is for us. And I just pray today that we will read it and trust it and study it. I pray today that you will heal and help those who are in our prayers, who are on our bulletin, those that we have thought about and prayed about each and every day. For those who are here with us today, we celebrate, we rejoice, we're glad. We're glad for the plans that you had for them and how you've delivered them. I pray that you'll continue to be with them. And I pray today that you will give us insight and help in all that we do. We thank you for every blessing that we have. Be with our missionaries, we pray, and we consider each and every one of them, their plights, their struggles, their challenges. I pray that you'll be with them. I pray that they will not want to quit, but rather I pray that they will long to see their finished product, and that big picture. And I pray today that you will develop in each and every one of us a deeper ministry, a desire to volunteer and serve in the very church that we worship in and serve in. I pray that you will help us to see the needs of our church and the things and those outside of our church. And I pray that you'll help us to grow in our faith and to become disciples. That's what we know that you want from us. Thank you for this time of worship. I pray that you will help us now in all that we do and be with us in all that we say. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and close with a song that was made famous by that famous Christian movie, Fireproof. This is in its soundtrack, While I'm Waiting. Dan and John did not preview the sermon, but the song, guys, again, amazing. So thank you. It worked perfectly. And by the way, to Dan and John, and I know you guys, the hours you put in to create these videos and slideshows and everything that you do, thank you guys. It does make this ministry so much more powerful. We love you guys and we're grateful. Also, one more thing, guys, this is a personal thing. Jillian is playing in her first golf tournament. She's in the State Farm Youth Classic. I am taking 3 days off from work to be out there with her. We have hand signals we've already created. This means relax in your swing. This means get wide in your swing. I'm going to be doing this from the sidelines. So she's already, I was out there for 3 hours yesterday helping her. It's just crazy. So anyway, please pray for her. She said, Dad, I'm so scared. And I said, you got to relax and get wide. So there we go. All right. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for making us a masterpiece. And we don't see it, but you see it, and you paint it, and we're grateful for it. And so I pray today that you would remind us that when times are challenging and daunting, I pray that we would lean on you and remember that as much as we hurt, you're still painting. So I pray that our faith and trust will grow in you each and every day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being our Lord. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us on track. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.